And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. I'm back, Davey. I'm back. everything's all right. Thanks again to the Kells man, Mr. Tormey, for stepping in while I was away, entertaining the kids for a few weeks or a few days. But normal service can resume, let's just say.
Yeah, you want to watch yourself, Mickey. It's a revolving door. It's like club management out there. It's kind of cutthroat, and if you're not cutting the mustard and you're missing the odd game here and there and your replacements are doing well, you're going to be in trouble. But great to have you back. It looks like you need a holiday after the holiday, Mickey, but I'm sure you had a great time nonetheless.
we did have a great time, and I'm trying to play down Tormey's, you know, role, you know, as first sub, as he likes to play, to say, you know, the first time ever he's been a first sub in his life. So
you were listening.
He's a good first sub. He wouldn't be a 60-70 minute man, like, you know.
No, neither would we though. But look, I understand it.
Again, thanks to the Kells man, Alan Tormey, for stepping in, and you know, I'm sure we'll be availing of his services again at some stage, because as you said, I look like I need another holiday. Okay, we'll get to pressing matters anyway for the podcast this week. A lot to get through on the We Are Meath podcast. I suppose we look first at the Camogues, Davey. Massive win for the Camogues on the weekend when they beat Cork 3-11 to 1-11. And 6-point win, but probably flatters Meath a little bit. An Aoife Minogue free kick, or free puck from the 21-yard line was buried to the back of the net when Meath were a point up. And that was enough just to, I suppose, give Meath a little bit of breathing space in the closing stages and stretch their lead to 6 points in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, it wouldn't have been a surprise if Aoife Minogue did kick the ball, kick the slip into the back of the net the way she's been playing this year. I mean, like, personally, what a year she's having, you know, across the football and Camogie, Mickey, and how she's doing it, I don't know. But she's obviously into a semi-final of the Camogues, and we'll talk about the quarter-final that she's looking forward to this weekend then in a few minutes. But she was outstanding, player of the match performance again, goal and five. But you're right, there was nothing really in it. I was following it, and the first half was nip and tuck. The first goal put Meath in a strong position. I think it was Ellen Brooke, the captain, who got the first one. But Meath didn't kick on, and Cork got back into it and ended up going in front. And it was tight at various different stages. But along with Aoife Minogue's class, Grace Coleman again consistently chipping over a few points, Meath got into a winning position. And very impressively, actually, seeing the game out, really. Won it kind of pulling up in the end, which is, it's a huge win, actually, down there in Semple Stadium. I know that's where they're going to return, I think, as well, for the semi-final. So it's a place that they're well acquainted with. I think they won an intermediate championship down there, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago. So it'll bring back fond memories for some of the players who are still involved. And listen, this team, we know what they're all about and how they've been going for pretty much all of the year. So they're absolutely deserving of their place in the last four.
Absolutely. And Brendan Skeen has done a magnificent job, because there was a lot of fluctuation in the panel this year. He brought in a lot of the younger players, and they've really stepped up to the mark, and they've booked themselves into the semi-final, as you said already. Again, it's going to be in Semple Stadium, but again, it's going to be against Westmeath, who were the only team to get one over them in the group stages. Now, Meath were already guaranteed a qualification. Westmeath had something to play for that day. They'll both have something to play for on the 22nd in 2 weeks' time, Dave.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't read too much into that game, but Meath will know that they'll have to perform well to obviously beat Westmeath, because regardless of if they needed a result or not, Westmeath are a decent side, and obviously they showed that against Meath the last day. So whilst you're right, it'll carry a lot more significance this time around for Meath. They'll know they need to be up to that level to kind of compete with Westmeath, and it should be a cracking game, Mickey. It really, really should. So one to look forward to, but Meath, you know, have kind of done it the hard way and coming through the quarters now, and all of a sudden you probably feel that they're maybe at an advantage to Westmeath. But only time will tell on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, they are out in 2 weeks' time after that brilliant victory over Cork, and they'll be playing in Semple Stadium on Saturday the 22nd, and it will be against Westmeath. So we want to wish Brendan and the girls the very best luck in that one. Another fixture, you've kind of alluded to it already, because Aoife Minogue will be playing as well. It's this Saturday coming. It's at 7:30, and it's in Austin Stack Park in Kerry, where Meath will take on Kerry, the reigning All-Ireland champions, against the runners-up last year, and that is Meath against Kerry. Kerry being the favourites going into this game, I'm sure, as well. And Jenny Rispin, you know, steadied the ship, has got a little bit of a tune out of these girls. They, I suppose, the last day out, they were very, very unlucky. Some dubious refereeing in the last game that Meath played. But their tails will be up, I'm sure, from that game. And, you know, they're starting to maybe come together a little bit better than they had been shown earlier this year.
Yeah, look, I think they got the bounce against Waterford. It was probably well-timed, and yeah, they were absolutely unlucky, and some of the decisions that went against them was very disappointing the last day against Donegal. But I still felt the performance lacked a lot, you know, and I think that they'll need their best performance of the year. That goes without saying, but they're going to need to reproduce something close to what they produced in the final last year against Kerry to topple them, especially down there. Like, Kerry destroyed Meath in the league down there. So it's going to be a savage test. The one thing I would say is Kerry don't look like they're as good or they're as formidable as they were earlier in the season when they won the league. So maybe Meath will take confidence from that. And the fact that Meath have been put in as underdogs again suggests that that's when they produce their best, isn't it? Like, time and time again, particularly in All-Ireland football, Mickey, this team have been wrote off over the last two or three years, and time and time again, they've come back and produced, and I don't doubt they'll go down there and they'll make it really competitive for Kerry, and maybe just try and stay in the game as long as they can. We know Meath aren't the most free scoring the teams, but they also need to try and nullify Kerry in that respect too, and make it into a grind. And if they can, you'd give them every chance of nicking it, but they need a massive, massive performance.
Yeah. Well, again, we want to wish Jenny Rispin and her Meath ladies football team the very best of luck as they travel down to Kerry next Saturday for that 7:30 throw-in in Austin Stack Park. You know, their championship is riding on their hold of the All-Ireland Championship is riding on this game against Kerry next Saturday. So very best of luck to the girls in that one. Another team from Meath that has been out in recent weeks, Davey, was the Gerry Riley team. I don't know if the Ted Webb team were out as well, but we do know the Ted Webb team weren't out. Okay, well, the Gerry Riley team were out in the semi-final of the Gerry Riley tournament, the Meath team. They took on Louth. Really good victory here for Meath. Louth in recent years have been putting it up to Meath in the Gerry Riley tournament, as we know. Didn't they beat them 2 years ago in the final, was it, Davey? Of the Gerry Riley tournament, Louth beat them.
That's right. But Meath
putting them to the sword here, 5-16 to Louth's 11 points, and that sets up a nice, tasty final that'll be taking place in August against Cavan, the near neighbours, the noisy neighbours there in Cavan. And but again, really good victory. Again, we just want to. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the Gerry Riley and Ted Webb teams and the management. We weren't sure of the full management team. The full management team of the Gerry Riley and Ted Webb teams is Niall Flynn from Dunsany, Vinnie Byrne from Longwood, Paul Garrigan from Oldcastle, Stephen Clare from Dunchocklin, and they're the current Meath under 16 coaches. So fabulous job they're doing there at the minute, Davey.
Absolutely, Mickey. And those two teams, as you quite rightly referenced, have been performing really well, you know, consistently across the competition. So fantastic to see. But it's going to be a really tasty final, I suppose. The fact it's in Millbrook as well, right on the border, you know, you couldn't really set it up better between Meath and Cavan. And this Meath team are really awesome. Like, you look at some of the players that you've got the next generation of kind of talented players. I'm just looking at the full forward line, like, and it yielded 4-9, was it?
4-9, yeah.
Against Louth, that's unbelievable scoring. So they're going to need plenty more of that against Cavan, but certainly a team that you'd be getting excited about. And let's hope they can generate a massive crowd to Millbrook. It's a really well-run competition. And I know Meath promoted really well, and Oldcastle, in fairness, do their utmost too as well. So let's hope we can get a big crowd there in a couple of weeks' time to cheer on Meath, and hopefully another Gerry Reilly in the coffers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Meath team that took the field against Louth in that semi-final was Ryan McCafferty, Conor Black, Kieran Sheridan and Killian Yore. Oran Mead, Thomas Sheridan and Charles McCarty. Killian Rafferty, Jack Doyle in the middle of the field. Ryan Brady, Kieran Sheridan and Cormac Nugent. Evan Kelly, Senan Duffy and Patrick Crawley. The subs used on the day were Robert Hayes, Daniel Doherty, Mackenzie Doyle, Conal Diggins, Jake Madden, Kian Hosey, and Evan Demange, or Demange. I'm not sure how you pronounce that name. We're just going to give it Demange. But when you look down at that team, Davey, there's a lot of names that you kind of look and go, well, we know the pedigree there. There's definitely lineages. You know, I'm looking down at Oran Mead straight away, and, you know, his father, Paul Mead, Alan Mead, they both played for Simonstown, were fabulous footballers. You see names, the likes of Charles McCarty. I'm wondering, is there a connection there? Seeing Evan Kelly, I'm wondering if that's another connection.
Yeah, I know Charles is actually John McCarty's son. So he'd be Charles McCarty's nephew. So,
yeah,
you're right, there is. And like, even some of the other ones, like Killian Yore, he's from Bormeen here. He's Sam Yore's son. A terrific talent, real athletic sort of player. Thomas Sheridan, I think, was on the minors. Pat Crawley was on the minors as well. So you've kind of got a few of those who have dropped back in. And yeah, what a really well-assembled team. And squad in general, like, you have to obviously factor in the lads that are with the Ted Webb as well. Like, it's an amazingly well-picked. And what I love about the coaching team as well, Mickey, is like, they're fellas from literally, you couldn't have put them further apart, like with the likes of Vinnie Byrne, Stephen Clare, Paul Garrigan, Niall Flynn. Like, I know I'm leaving one or two out, but like, they're absolutely spread right across the county, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. The scores, again, we'll just give them for the Meath team in that semi-final. Thomas Sheridan got a point, Killian Rafferty got a point, Cormac Nugent got 2 points, one of them being a free. Evan Kelly got 2-5, Senan Duffy got 2-1, and Patrick Crawley got 3 points. From the bench, Jake Madden got a goal and two. Madden, that'd be a name that'd be associated with Cavan. I wonder if there's a connection there. And Kian Hosey got a point. And again, another man that I'm wondering if there's a connection to Navan O'Matney's and Centralstown there. But a lot of Sheridans as well in there on the team. Evan Kelly standing out though, Davey, with 2-5. Is he a relation of the former great that played for Meath, Evan Kelly?
He is a relation of somebody. I'm just trying to rack my brain as to who.
Is he a Colin Kills player though?
Let me come back to you on that, Mickey, because I think he does have a kind of famous enough link there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, look, brilliant stuff from the Meath under-16s. Gerry Reilly.
Dunamore Ashburn, apologies.
Dunamore Ashburn. I thought he was over that side of the county, all right. Well done to the Gerry Reilly team getting through to the final against Cavan, and that final will be played in August. We'll bring you the fixture when we receive it.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control Auto Mower from your phone. Auto Mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised Auto Mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Moving on then, Davey, the next thing I suppose we should look at is Meath against Down in the Tauchin Cup final, taking place this Saturday at 3 p.m. in Croke Park, 15th of July. Meath's first time ever in the Tauchin Cup, and they've gone straight to the final unbeaten. They've won every game. They've got a 100% record in tow. Down have lost a game already. It was to Meath in the group stages. Can Meath go on and keep their 100% record going in the Tauchin Cup final?
Of course they can, yeah. And listen, it's fantastic. I think it's great for the group. There's a real buzz of excitement. Obviously, last week there was the meet and greet with all the players in Navan, and there was an open training session as well. So really nice to see. We had a fantastic media day over in Bective Stud as well, just before that media day, which was great, and great exposure with the players and management too. So there's a good buzz around the county, Mickey. I'm seeing plenty of flags, bit of bunting as well. That's nice to see. And I think for such a young team, they're gonna really embrace this occasion for what it is and stuff. And obviously, tickets have been so hard to come by. I know there's a little bit of disgruntlement amongst Meath supporters about the game it's been pitted with, which is a little bit disappointing, because I think Meath and Down probably would have sold as many tickets as Derry and Kerry would have, you know, for the game on the Sunday. But so be it. It'll be a great occasion for them, playing in front of a full house in Croke Park. And it's all about how they manage that, really. I was so impressed with them against Down the first day. Right, you can say they rode their luck. Down had wides and stuff like that. But the way Meath were set up, how disciplined they were that day, Mickey, and the way they won the game was fantastic to see, and seeing the game out. And I think they're going to need to do all of that and more in this game. Down are an awesome side. We've seen what they did against Laois. But Meath came through a sticky enough semi-final against Antrim, which you'd like to think might stand to them, maybe more so than what Down did against Laois. So it's going to be a great occasion. Let's hope there's a huge Meath crowd there, and wouldn't be absolutely brilliant to come back down the road with the Tarleton Cup. And I know Colin wants to do it in Division 2 next year, but I'd love to book our place in the All-Ireland Championship here and now. So yeah, let's hope that can be an added bonus as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and take the pressure off them going into Division 2 of the of the Alliance League next year. But we do have a full review of Meath versus Down, the Tauchin Cup final, over on our Patreon services, the Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon/ We Are Meath. We have interviews with Colm O'Rourke, with Sean Coffey, with Stephen Bray, and with Jack O'Connor. So do not miss that. That is going to be a brilliant preview of Meath versus Down in the Tauchin Cup final. And best luck to Colm and all the lads, that young team that Colm has assembled in this year's Tauchin Cup final. And wouldn't it be brilliant for that young team to bring home a bit of silverware at the first time of asking? So best luck to Colm and all the lads. Davey, we'll move on now and we'll have a look at some football that's coming ahead this weekend. You'll be out yourself, because of course the Meath Club Championship also kicks off this weekend, with the Junior A and Junior B taking place, and it all kicks off on Friday night, Davey.
It does, Mickey, yeah, and it's incredible to think it's rolled around already. Some blockbuster games in both championships. I suppose the standout in Junior B would have to be Slane against Menalty. I think that's probably two of the front runners going toe to toe in the first round. Some great games in the Junior A everywhere you look, really. Ballinlock and Moylan. That'll be some derby. You've got Dunsany, the Ultons, Kilbride and Clanagale, and Vincent's and Bridget's. And that game is now Tuesday night, because obviously Michael Flood is involved with the Meath team. So you're going to get, people are going to get the Meath game on the Saturday. They're going to get football on the Friday, football on the Sunday. And if you really want, go and watch Vincent's and Bridget's on the Tuesday night as well. It's going to be fantastic and we're absolutely buzzing for it.
Yeah, no, can't wait. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. As you said, St. Vincent's and Bridget's has been moved from Friday night to Tuesday night. The game's taking place on Tuesday or Friday night. Dunsany against St. Dalton's. Absolutely brilliant one there. That is from Group B of the Junior Championship. Then on in the Junior B Championship, so that was Group B of the Junior A, Dunsany and St. Dalton's. And in Group A of the Junior B Championship, Drumcondra will take on Clonard and Kilmainham Wood will take on St. Mary's. So, Davey, if we were doing predictions, which we won't, but give me your thoughts on the two of those games.
That Drumcondra Clonard game will be a right good game, Mickey. There was nothing between them in the league. I think, with all due respect to them, they're probably not going to win a championship, but what an opportunity that is for both of them to open up with a win and get some confidence going and put them in a really strong position. Kilmainham Wood and the Marys, though, that's tasty, because those two met in the championship last year. I think it was in the final group game and they drew. It was something like 10 points apiece or that. I expect that to be pretty close as well. So two fantastic games in that. And Ultons and Dunsany, you know, both of them, in fairness, Ultons were in a league final, narrowly beaten by Clannagale last week. Dunsany have been going ever so well, as we know, in a higher division. Very unlucky to miss out on promotion. So that'll be a good game. Dunsany do generally have the Indian sign over Ultons, but I wouldn't write Ultons off. Dar Riley back as well. So, you know, that'll be a really good game.
And isn't that one of the favourites against the rank outsiders for the Junior Championship?
Yeah, it is. Now, rank outsiders, and I just have to say this, like, rank outsiders being, I think, 12-1 shots, which is actually a proper picture of the Junior A, if you look at it, right? The rank outsider of the group is 12-1. If you go into the senior, I think the rank outsider is 80-1 or something. Probably the same in the intermediate. So I think that'll just tell you how congested this Junior A championship could potentially be this year.
No, absolutely. It is going to be a tough championship. Then we move on then to Sunday, Davey. And the first group of games we have up there is the Junior B. 12 o'clock throw-ins for Slane and Menalty and Boards Mill versus St. Paul's. Now, they're both in Group B of the Junior B championship. And, you know, we've already spoken about the couple of games from Group A. Group A would be the more favourable of the two groups in the Junior B Championship. Slane, Menalty, Boards Mill, St. Paul's and Carnaross all in the same group, Group B. And, you know, it's just an absolute nightmare for any of the teams that are in there, because isn't it top two go through the semi-finals?
No, I think I stand to be corrected on this, but I think it's the group winner goes straight to the semi-finals from each, and then 2 and 3 goes into a quarter-final against 2 and 3 from the other group.
Okay then. So gives them a bit more of a chance, I suppose.
But even so, like, you're right. Like, you've got Slane, the beaten finalists last year, and you've got the three relegated teams from Junior A last year. One of those aren't going to progress through to at least the quarter-finals, which is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Then from the Junior A Championship at 1 p.m, it is Ballinlough versus Moylan, one that you mentioned already, Davey, from Group A of the Junior Championship. And St. Vincent's and Bridget's are out on Tuesday night, as we said already.
Oh yeah, Ballinlough and Moylan, like, that'll be an incredible derby. And obviously Bridget's are in that group as well. So those three teams, I was saying it to the lads in the preview podcast, you could literally throw a blanket over those three clubs. Vincent's are like the black sheep of the group, which is probably not a bad thing to be in that group, you know. They're not going to be too well kind of acquainted with them and stuff, so they're going to be waiting in the wings. They play Bridget's on Tuesday. That you feel is a massive game for both clubs. Like, in a group like that, I think it's so important to win your game first round, because then you go, like, everybody has to have a break at some stage. So if you lose, I think Bridget's have the break, you have no game for a month. And if you don't win your first round, you're in serious trouble already. Like,
yeah, absolutely. The next game up, Davey, will be obviously involving yourselves. It's at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Do we know if Eastern Gales will have a team for this? It's Cortown versus Eastern Gales And I'm just going to look. It's down for Centralstown at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, they will. They will have a team. And look, they're going to have, at the moment, they're probably going to have a skeleton team. But I do know that they have up to 8 transfers in with the county board tomorrow night, Tuesday. Now, I believe they're going to field anyway. But if those transfers come through, they could be very competitive, not just on Sunday, but possibly for the remainder of the championship. We shall see. But I believe they are going to field regardless of what happens.
Wow, wow. Really interesting. So Eastern Gales men's team, because we've seen that their ladies team have already commenced playing football, will get their club first game against Cortown at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And that really is an unbelievable banana skin, Davey, because you just don't know what to expect.
That's the issue. Do you know what? I was just saying it to one of our lads that you're kind of going to hide into nothing, because if you go out and win well, sure, you're expected to. And if you go out and lose, you're an absolute disgrace. Like, so it's one of those, just try and get the 2 points, move on, and get it chalked off. But we'll be under no illusions going there. Like, they'll be up for first ever game of the club. Like, it's a big occasion for everybody that's going to be involved for them. So yeah,
I'd say there could be a massive crowd in Centralstown on Sunday, Davey.
Yeah, yeah. There could be a few angry mobs as well.
I'd say, do you know what? It's going to create an awful stir around the county. And I'd say you're going to have people coming from all over the county to witness Eastern Gales' first game. And look, best of luck to them, like in the future and whatever. Obviously not against you, Davey. I couldn't possibly want them to beat Cortown. So I couldn't.
Especially after the last day, Mickey. We'll need everything going in our favour.
And finally, finishing off the weekend will be the Junior Championship Group B game between Clonmacnoise and Kilbride. Dunsany's and Dalton's will already have played. And of course, Sidon being the team that get to sit and watch all these games. Kilmainham being the team from Group A who get to watch all the games on the weekend. And Carter Ross, the other team from the Junior B Championship, getting to watch games on the weekend. So, Clonmacnoise and Kilbride, like, you know, both teams at full strength. That is a class game of football.
I think that's probably the game of the weekend, and we've saved the best to last, like 6 o'clock Sunday evening. What a game that could be. You're looking at a Kilbride back-to-back promotions. They've been in the quarterfinals of the Junior A Championship 2 of the last 2 years. Clonmacnoise, new manager, silverware last week against Dalton's, motoring really well, got a win in the Hurling Senior Hurling Championship last weekend too. They're a club on the up. That's a huge game. And like we said about, I think it was about Vincent's and Bridget's, that game's going to set the tone for them. There's going to be a couple of big hitters in that group that are going to find themselves in relegation trouble. And I do think that the loser of that one will probably be already up against it. So there's an awful lot at stake in that game.
Yeah, you've got Kilbride who are, you know, on the up, as you said. Clonmacnoise, who were relegated last year, probably with the tail between their legs. They only won the Junior Championship a few years ago as well. So they'll be wanting to get back to intermediate at the first time of asking. So yeah, really, really interesting one there. But best luck to everybody. Isn't it great that the club championship is back up and running, Davey? On the same weekend as Meath take the field for the Tailteann Cup final.
Yeah, to be fair to the CCCC, I don't think they envisage Meath being in the Tailteann Cup final or being in the Tailteann Cup at all. But here we are. So look, it is what it is. In fairness, none of the games are on the Saturday at least. So some of the teams out on the Friday, others on the Sunday, and obviously the other ones on the Tuesday. But yeah, it'll make for a great weekend of football all around, I think, and plenty for people to get out to and support their teams.
Yeah, well, best luck to all the footballers taking the field at the commencement of the club championship this weekend in the Junior A and Junior B. And we want to tell them all to go out and enjoy themselves. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in Centralstown at 3 o'clock on Sunday as well. We might all take a trip over to Centralstown for that one.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn. replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, you have some hurling results because the hurling championship has already started, and you have the results for me on that one.
Yeah, absolutely, Mickey. Hurling championship was back last weekend, so a variety of games to get through, starting in the Ted Murtagh Clonan and Footwear Senior Hurling Championship Group A, where the reigning and defending champions Trim issued a statement of intent in putting 3-19 past Kiltale, who only mustered 1-11. So a huge win for Trim on Friday night in Park Tarleton. On to Saturday then in Trim, it was Ratolt who came from behind to beat Killine 116-113, 3-point victory for Ratolt. And in the other game in Rathmullyne, it was Kildalki 120, Nafina 18 points. I was at this game, Mickey. It was an absolute cracker of a game. Nafina were outstanding and probably felt aggrieved not to have won that game. It looks like it was a comfortable enough victory for Kildalki, winning by 5 points. Couldn't be further from the truth. They were a point down going into injury time and got a terrific goal from Paddy Barnwell and a couple of scores thereafter. But Nafina were superb on the night. Mark Slevin, I think he hit 7 points, six from play and a sideline cut. Unbelievable performance from him. It was a cracking game. Really, really good. But Nick Fitzgerald's men just open up with a win in the end over a very good Nafina side. Then in the Group B, the first game was down for Friday night and Clannagale had a resounding victory over Kilmessan. It finished Clannagale 4-22, Kilmessan 2-17. On to Saturday then in Boards Mill, St. Peter's Dunboyne, courtesy of a last-minute winner, defeated Longwood by a solitary point, 216-118, a humdinger there. And in the other game, there was drama as well. This was in Kiltale, and it took place between Blackhall Gales and Dundry. Dundry, obviously, intermediate champions going up to senior, first outing for them. But it was Blackhall Gales who won out 222, that's 28 points, to Dundry's 316, which was 25 points. Dundry were 3 points up with 5 minutes to go. Blackhall got a goal. Last play of the game, Dundry launched a ball into the box. Ball was flicked into the back of the net. Square ball was given, and it would have given Dundry a big draw. Kieran Flynn, the referee there, but a big call. But Dundry will be absolutely sickened at that. And Blackhall Gales, well, they were free in the end, Mickey, just in that one. So terrific drama, particularly in Group B of the Senior Hurling Championship. But moving on into the Intermediate Championship, there was a game down on Friday night in Group A. That's the JM Food Services Intermediate Hurling Championship. In Batterstown, Drumree defeated Navan O'Matney's by 5 points. It finished Drumree 2-13, Navan O'Matney's 14 points. Also on Friday night in Trim, Boards Mill had a terrific win against last year's beaten finalist Rathmullyne. It finished Boards Mill 1-12, Rathmullyne 14 points. A huge victory for Boards Mill there. And then on to, into Sunday in Atboy, Kildalki thumped Gael Columbkill. That's Kildalki's second string. 4-23 to Gael Columbkill's 9 points. Into Group B then, in Boards Mill, Kilskeer Moyle received a walkover from St. Peter's Dunboyne. Disappointed to see that in round one, especially of an intermediate hurling championship. But Dunboyne obviously haven't fielded a senior team. I think that day they couldn't field a second team. Disappointing to see. Then in Dunchoclan on Saturday, Dunham Ashburn, just doing my maths here. Dunham Ashburn had a 1 point victory over Kilmessan. I think I'm right in saying Dunham Ashburn 121, Kilmessan 314. So that's 24 points to 23. So a 1 point victory there for the Moors. Yeah, thanks be to God. And the final game in the Intermediate Championship was Wolfe Tone's 113, Trim second string 111, so a 2-point victory for the Tones there. Then into the Junior Hurling Championship, that's the K Windows and Doors K Junior A Championship Group A in Drumree. It finished Kiltale 18 points, Drumree 210, so 2-point victory to 116. Sunday, then it was Kildare completing a hat-trick for the weekend. Senior, Intermediate and Junior A, not a bad weekend for the village. 19 points to a goal and 12, they defeated Rathoath. Into the Junior Hurling Championship 2, so Junior 2, Group A. Clannagale 2-11, Dundree 15 points, so narrow victory for Clannagale, local derby there. Navan O'Matney's and Drumree played out a pulsating draw, Mickey. 1-7 to Navan O'Matney's, 2-4 to Drumree. apologies. I'm sure it was a good game, but extremely.
Did Colin O'Brien not send you the report on that one yet?
No, he must be still writing it up. Group B. On Sunday, there was one game down for decision and it finished Trim 215, Rathmullyn 212, so 3-point victory for Trim. And there was a couple of games in... There was a Premier Championship semi-final between Vincent's and Colum Kills, which I can't get... No, I can't, sorry. It was the Premier 7 semi-final between St. Vincent's and St. Colum Kills, and St. Vincent's won out 213 to a goal and 9. So that's all the results from the weekend, Mick.
Brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. So another 2 weeks before the championship is back on for the hurlers.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
2 weeks it is. So they'll all be putting on leaving the sticks behind and leaving the helmets behind and getting the football boots well washed and ready for this week in the club football championship, the ones that are obviously involved in Junior A and Junior B. But best luck to all of them, and well done on all the teams taking the field last weekend in the club hurling championship. Davey, I suppose there's a great buzz around the county with the hurling at the moment, Meath having picked up the Christy Ring championship, and have we seen a better standard from that going back into the clubs?
I'd say so, Mickey. Absolutely. The game I seen anyway Saturday evening, I thought that the standard was excellent. Conor Ferguson was refereeing, and he's definitely a man that likes to let the play go. But I have to say that added to the game and to the spectacle as a whole. Some of the performances were outstanding. I referenced Mark Slevin. He wasn't part of the Meath Hurling panel last year. If he keeps going the way he's going, and if he's willing to go in, he'll certainly be part of it next year. So it's definitely given things a bit of a lift. And I think you have to look at Group B. And I like the way the hurling do it. I have to be honest with you. You look at Group B, it's the lesser of the two groups. I think it's fair to say nobody from Group B is going to win the Jubilee Cup, but they're all competitive. They're all against each other. And it's like you look at the games, it was nothing more than a puck of the ball between any of the three games. In some of the senior games, there was a few big margins of victory. But I think when it comes to the latter stages, generally that tightens up and we'll see quality games. But overall, very impressive first round.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone. They stay senior, they get a chance to consolidate themselves, move up through Group B and try and get into Group A, and then again pit themselves against the best in the county as well. And obviously, if they top Group B, the first and second team, isn't it, go through to the quarterfinals of the senior championship. So they are getting a chance to play that better opposition as well. So it really is a good way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we've seen Killeen, coming up in recent times as a result of that. They were very unlucky, nearly to beat Rathoath last weekend. So, and even Dundry, I have to say, coming up from intermediate can feel very aggrieved not to have bet Blackall Gaels. So it just shows that the standard is improving and the grade is absolutely spot on, which is what we want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll look forward to the round two of the Hurling Club Championship in 2 weeks' time. David, we'll move on now to our Lotto segment. Have you had many of the PROs in contact with you? I've had the usual.
Yeah, likewise, Mickey. The first one on my list is from Waterstown for this week. From Sunday night, the numbers were 2, 19, 22 and 24. No winner after €7,400 jackpot. and no match three winners, meaning the lotto is now open for their $7,500 jackpot for this week. You can play online at Clubforce, or you can pick up an envelope at Curran's Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road or O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant in Johnstown. Menotti are next in, and their results also from Sunday night, the 9th of July. Jackpot of 3,000, not one. The numbers were 3, 5, 19, and 21. No jackpot winner. Two draw winners, each receiving 100 euro, were Angela Lynch and Jenny Stafford. The special online prize of 50 euro goes to Kieran Feeney. And the next draw takes place on Sunday, the 16th of July, and they've got 3,200 euro of a jackpot. Cortown are next in, and our jackpot from last Friday night, 15,000, not one. The numbers were 11, 22, 24, and 32. Five 50 euro winners were Pat Murray, Miriam Casty, Ellie Joe, and Frank Harford, Emer Burke, and Davy Casty. The lotto moves on to 5,100 euro next week, and you can play online at cortownga.com/lotto. Next one on my list is from Castletown. Their 4,400 euro jackpot for next week. The results from last week, the 5th of July, 8, 18, 22, and 23, their numbers. 4,300 of a jackpot, not one. Lucky dip winners, each receiving 30 euro, were Dennis Ward, Barry Sheeran, Con McManus, Mary Flanagan, and Anthea Cassidy, I think it is. And their lotto is kindly sponsored by Grace Civil Contracts. Kilmainham are next in from the 3rd of July, 2, 6, 11, and 24. Their numbers, 7,900 euro, not one. 20 euro winners, five of those were Breege, Mahon, Shamey, care of S. Lynch, Joe Walsh, Lorraine Burke, and Elaine, I'm going to say it's Carpenter. And next week's jackpot moves on to 8,000 euro. The final one on my list for this week, it comes from Manalvi, and it's from all the way back to last Monday, 2, 13, 17, and 24. Their numbers, no jackpot winner of that one. 3 20 euro winners were G. O'Neill, Vinnie Walsh, and Siobhan Douglas. The next draw takes place tonight. They've got 3,600, and you can play it at manalvigfc.ie, or you can also play it on the Club Force app.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. The three that I have in are Kilmainham Woods, Central Sound, and Simonson, the usual. So Kilmainham Woods results from last Monday. No jackpot winner. The numbers drawn were 5, 9, 18, and 26. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro, were Paddy Clark, John Kangley, Ian F. Barber, Oren Kyogan, and Willie Owens, care of the Willows. And this week's jackpot is 6,000 euro. That takes place tonight, Monday. Same with Central Sounds. Last week, it was not won. It takes place tonight, and it's 4,300 euro. Last week's lotto numbers were 12, 17, 18, and 21. The five 25-euro winners were Mary Clark, Evan Scanlon, Kathleen Clark, Helen Kearns, and Carmel Clark. Finally, Simonson's lotto last week was not won either. It was 3,350. The numbers drawn were 2, 7, 18, and 28. And the match three winner was M&J Ward. This week's lotto that will take place on Friday night is 3,400. Jelly did apologise for not sending it in on time yesterday. But that was grand because he only sent it in today and we were recording today. And he also sent in, that he's delighted that the club championship is back up and running over the weekend. And if he's not with Cortown, when he's not with Cortown, he's still available for recovery sessions, massages, and cupping or something like that. I don't know what that is, but he's available for all that at the moment as well. So do get in contact with James O'Dwyer or at JOD_sports_massage_therapy on Instagram. So he does have a few spots available there at the moment for any players who want to get themselves nicely nimble for the championship taking place this weekend.
Absolutely, Mickey. He's doing a great job with us, in fairness to him. We're delighted to have him. We better move on to Instagram, I suppose, will we?
Yeah, it's time for Instagram Interactive, Davey.
Colin McAreevy, looking for any spare Hill tickets. Of course, this is a great doubleheader for Colin, isn't it, come Saturday?
It really is. He's got two teams playing. Now, he'd never say that he was going up to support Meath, but I'd say he'd go up quicker to the Tailteann Cup final than to watching Monaghan getting their asses handed to them.
Yeah, he might be one of the supporters leaving after the first game as well.
I actually said before the draw was done that the only team that I thought Monaghan would actually have a chance against is Dublin. And I think that they will rattle them.
Yeah,
I do. I do think that they'll rattle them. I think Dublin will probably win it out, but it'll be closer than we think. And I wouldn't be surprised if they nicked it. But yeah, I think they're the only team that left that Monaghan could actually put it up to.
Interesting. Alan McCormick said Kildare with 3 wins from 3 this weekend. As Meatloaf nearly said, 3 out of 3 ain't bad.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I love when Meatloaf is sprung into the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. PS Tape said the Cajonies on Aoife Minogue going for goal with the free from miles out. Outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And it was the score that, you know, we said it earlier on in the podcast that really put a little bit of daylight between Meath and Cork and gave them the impetus to go on and win it by 6 in the end.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Jarbar Binks said reserve cup fixtures from nowhere. I'm not sure. Yeah, there must have been reserve cup fixtures dished out, possibly. I'm not quite sure. I haven't caught them now, Mickey.
Now, I saw something with regards to the hurling championship, that there was a game that was a reserve or a junior second team championship game was down for one of the days, maybe Saturday or something, but it had to be moved to either Sunday or Monday because the first team had to play first. Did you notice that? There was one team.
Oh, I did. Yeah, that was Kilskerr Moyle, I think, because their first round game in the intermediate didn't happen. But I think he's referring to football, and you know the way there's reserve cup for teams that want to affiliate, like, yeah, second teams for, you know, so that must be them, I assume. But yeah, okay. Owen Griffin said Clannagale 15-8 first round, some odds. I think that's in reference to the hurling last weekend, and they obviously had a massive win against Glenmessan.
Yeah, Clannagale have got their house in order. You know, when Dunham won that league last week, and on the hurling front, with aiming back as well for the footballers and the hurlers, it's nearly like he breathes life into them or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Shane Morgan said Andy Arkin's back in training with Kilmainham after a brief spell off, and he has the two monkey faces, so I'm not quite sure what that is in reference to.
Well, can you fill us in on that?
I actually can't. I know Andy well. I'm not even going to go there, to be honest with you. There's more than that that meets the eye, I would say. But there's quite a bit of ticketing chat on the podcast. Connor O'Brien said selling 2 Nally stand tickets for Saturday. Who else was selling tickets? There's a few. Yeah, it's kind of like it's a bit of bedlam now out there at the moment, Mickey, for tickets. Yeah. But I think there will be more tickets freed up during the week. You tend to see that, as in people will be selling tickets and trying to move around and stuff like that. I think if you really want to go to the game, you'll get a ticket. I wouldn't worry.
Yeah, but there has been a bit of a disaster surrounding the tickets and. You know, how many do we know how many have been allocated to Meath and Down for this game? Because obviously in GAA headquarters, the big game is Monaghan and Dublin.
Yeah, I don't, to be honest with you. I just think it was really bad. Like, how could they not have foreseen this, the GAA, and put Derry and Kerry with Meath and Down? I just don't understand the logic there, but you know. Gail Tots, they said the couple who moved home from Australia to teach GA Osceola to toddlers. So this is kind of like a startup. They've got in touch, gaeltots.ie, and it's a community-based program whose sole purpose is to promote the Irish language and culture through sport August spree. So that's actually a pretty decent page for anybody on there on Instagram. You can go on and follow them, working with kids, and particularly during the summer. I'd imagine that's a pretty good initiative.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably doing workshops or little camps and stuff like that. So head on over and follow that one on Instagram if you're so inclined.
Deck F. Dunn said, a lot of Meath fans disappointed, can't get tickets. I got mine, thankfully.
Yeah, a lot of people, we've seen a lot of disgruntled supporters all over social media. I would avoid the hill. And all I'd say is if you do get a hill ticket, please behave. We don't want to be like Monaghan or like, who was it yesterday?
Kilkenny and Clare. You know,
it's something that really disappointed me to see. Now I've seen stuff down through the years, supporting Meath and going to different games at Croke Park and stuff and whatever. And you see little schmozzles and whatever, but they're dealt with fairly quickly. But that last week between Monaghan and Armagh and then Kilkenny and Clare, you know, for it to happen so soon after the last one, maybe it's always happened. There just wasn't mobile phones at the time.
I think that's definitely a factor, but I'd agree with you. I think we need to stop seeing it, because I think what's going to happen is something will happen. The GAA will have to, or Croke Park will have to take action and do something with the hill, which I personally think I would be a shame. Do you know?
Because would you?
I would. I think it's very unique to Croke Park, the fact that, you know, there's an open terrace there. And personally, I wouldn't like to see it going Cedar, for example. Right. That'd be just
Personally, I would. I just think that it's too much of a... Your prevention is better than cure, basically, in my book. And I think that having the hill the way it is, the way society has changed so much in the last 20 years, and the way things have gone, that you're only leaving yourself open to more of that.
Did you not say like you'd seen this like back in the day before mobile phones?
Yeah, but we'll use that word you love. They were sporadic. They weren't regular occurrences.
To be fair, right, the two we've seen in recent, that's the first two I think I've seen. I don't know how long, maybe ever.
Yeah.
I just think it would be a shame, because like anything in society, Mickey, 99.9% of us do the right thing, but ultimately we get punished for other people's discrepancies. Do you know what I mean? And I just think that would be a shame, because there's people that obviously love going to the hill and behaving themselves and just having a good time. But
yeah,
fortunately, like everything, it's the very few that ruin it for everybody.
The other reason I'd love to see the whole of Croke Park completed and with a full stadium going the whole way around is that fucking wind in Croke Park that comes in.
I'll agree with you there.
Oh,
it's funny that nobody ever knows. Like, even the commentators and the cover the games far more than any of the rest of us do, the likes of Darren Maloney and all these.
Lads. Never know the direction.
They haven't a clue when they're commentating where it's blown or who has it or what, yeah.
There's flags down behind the scoreboard that are blown out towards the bay, and then the flags on the pitch are blown down towards the old canal end, and on the other side of the field they're blown across towards the Hogan's. It's just fucking mental, so it is.
It is. It's unique though. Richie Davis, another thing that's unique, said a 40-year-old Morris Kyo with 3 goals and 3 points from full forward versus for Kildalki versus Kells. That's incredible shooting, all right. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Was that the Kildalki team that hammered Kells?
Yeah, that was the intermediate hurling championship. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was
that Darryl was close Sullivan at half time. There was only a couple of points between them at half time. Like maybe 8-9-5 or something like that. And I think Kells only scored 3 points in the second half, and Kildalki hit like 2-14 or something crazy or something like that.
Kildalki had a pretty good team. They only used one player as well on the Saturday for their first team, so they would have been pretty strong.
We saw him doing that last year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Another player that's impressing in the Intermediate Hurling Championship was Darrow Sullivan, a great minor, superb dual player playing first team football with Dunmore Ashburn. Sean O'Sullivan sent in that Darrow Sullivan won 11 in Dunmore Ashburn's win against Kilmessan. I think they only scored 121, so 111 out of 121 is unbelievable shooting, really.
That's absolutely incredible. And we've spoken about him on the podcast numerous times after his exploits with Dunmore Ashburn minor hurling and minor footballers. He's one to watch for the future, definitely.
Very much so. Sean Duggan said, lucky to be working, wishing he was in Sydney. This is a bit of a running joke. Lucky to be working, not happy with people emigrating from Ireland because there's loads of jobs here. Sean Duggan, after emigrating, I think, is taking a lot of the brunt of it.
Oh, look, who's free? Who's free? That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Mikey Cullen said, Sean Fitz strolling around London with a man bag. Yeah, I can picture that actually.
Walking around with a man bag.
You see all sorts in London, Mickey, though.
I was just going to say, a lot of these lads don't want to do that around their own parishes, but once they get to London, they feel free as well. So they do.
They do, yeah. Joey Mooney wants to know, is Saturday sold out?
Don't know if it is sold out, Davey. Do you know if it is?
They haven't come out and said it is. That's why I just feel that they're going to probably drip feed more tickets out through the week. But I don't know.
What I don't like about the new ticketing system, it's great in a lot of ways. You don't get the allocations anymore, it goes through the county board, out to the club, and then everybody had their chance to get their tickets for the games and whatever. It takes that whole, I suppose, what word would you use? That whole organization of the tickets and making sure that they're well dispersed properly. It takes that away, and now it's just random nearly.
Mm. Stephen Masterson said Brian O'Halloran telling everybody he changed the game when he came on versus Nafina.
Did he?
He kind of did, yeah, he did. Obviously on the Mead panel as well, Mead football panel.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, was it a thing that he was kind of told he couldn't play the whole game or whatever, but when he came on, he was superb. Set up the goal, got a point, looked really good, and gave a great contribution, in fairness.
Great footballer, great hurler, great to see.
Yeah, great dual player. And finally, Mickey, this is an interesting one, actually, from Alan Tormey, your rival or your...
No, first sub.
Okay. Your understudy, sorry. That's
my protege.
Yes, very good. He wants to know, is it time for a Premier Championship for hurlers? So obviously Gael Colin-Kill, first team, Kildalki, competing in the intermediate, coming up against the second team. And I do see where he's coming from here, because I mean, this was the reason it was kind of brought in football, was to stop first teams playing against second teams and getting hidings in games. He may have a bit of a case there, I would say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's something that we should probably look at. But is there enough hurling teams to do that? I don't mean that, and I'm not being derogatory when I say that. Would there be enough hurling clubs to do that?
Well, I suppose, look, if the way I would think it would work is you would probably need to put the reserve teams of the first teams in maybe Division One, for want of a better word. And there'd definitely be four or five of those. Like, you could think of Kildare, Kiltale, Trim, Dunboyne.
Well, Dunboyne definitely field second team.
Yeah, so there you go. But look, they'd definitely go into that bracket. Then maybe in Division Two, you might have all the first teams that are intermediate only. So the likes of Gael Columbkill, Kilscare Moyla, who else? Dunham Rashburn. You know, like you would get four or five of those teams as well, possibly. I'm not just throwing it out there. Maybe that's what needs to happen. The only thing I would say
like in the two groups. So Group A would have all the first teams in Group B.
Or just Division 1, Division 2, like a Premier Championship, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I just think... I do feel for them a bit. I do feel for Kells a little bit because they came up against a really strong Kildare side. If you actually look at the other games, they're really evenly matched. You know, Dunham Rashburn and Kilmess in second string, there was nothing in that. Maybe they were just unlucky. You know, I think they'll be okay, but it's an interesting point.
Yeah, absolutely. Good shout from Alan.
That is it for this week.
Okay, well, again, just to remind our listeners that over on our Loyal Royals podcast this week, we have a whole host of podcasts going out. We have the Junior Championship preview for Group A and Group B, and we have the Junior B Championship preview for Group A and Group B. Davey, you had a number of lads on with you from both championships, from all four groups, doing previews of the Junior A and Junior B Championship. And we want to thank all the lads that got involved with the preview podcasts.
Absolutely. I can give them a little shout out if you want, Mickey. I have them all here in front of me. So
yeah,
in Junior A, Group A, we had Dean Pepperd from Kilmainham, and we had Evan Connor from St. Vincent's, Harry Ryan from Ballinlock, Dylan Scully from St. Bridget's, and Sean Riley from Moyla. So thanks to the lads in Group A, the Junior A. Into Group B, we had Paul O'Donnell, the Dunsany manager. We had Gary McManus of Sidon, Philly Gary, the captain of Clannagail, Garrett McGueaney, great clubman in Kilbride, and Sean Herward from St. Dalton's. Then into Junior B, Group A from Cortown, we had Decky Clark, the captain. Kilmainham Wood, we had their captain, Brian Casty. From Eastern Gales, we had one of their new recruits, Gary Burke. From Clonard, we had the veteran, Kenneth Darby. And from St. Mary's, we had Nicky Gogan. And finally, into Group B of the Junior B, we had Darren Beryl, the goalkeeper from Slane, Johnny Lynch, the goalkeeper from Menalty, Shane McNiff, the goalkeeper from Carnaross. You see where this is going? I've kind of broken it up now. We had Ty Connor, great character from Boards Mill. He's nicknamed the Bucket. And finally, we had Brendan Thornton representing St. Paul's. Great to have them on as well, and great to see that they're intending on fielding too. So we had, I think, 19 representatives from the 20 clubs on show in the Junior A and B Championship. So if you are from any of those clubs listening, get across to the Loyal Royals podcast and you'll hear your own club men previewing this weekend's games and everything like that. It's a really good listen.
Do you want to name and shame the club that weren't represented?
I'd rather not, to be honest.
I'll do me maths on it and I'll go through it and I'll figure it out in just a while. So I will. But absolutely brilliant. And again, thanks to all the lads from all the different clubs. 19 of the 20 clubs represented, which is absolutely fantastic. To have that many people involved in the podcast once again, absolutely brilliant. So thanks a million to everybody. And head on over to the Loyal Royals. You'll hear both of those podcasts hitting, dropping this week. And of course, we'll have the Meeting Down Tauchin Cup final preview with interviews with Colm O'Rourke, Jack O'Connor, Sean Coffey, and Stephen Bray. But for this episode of your We Are Meath podcast, that's it. So remember, We Are Meath, why matters more.